Blog Talk Radio.
She keeps lighting up the way, even on the darkest day. Dawn is breaking, all awaken from the night. From the shore into the waves, washing all the bitterness away, lifting darkness with your stillness and your grace. It's you I like, and you mean everything to me. It's you I like, 'cause you are light, and I see everything I need. It's alright, yeah. Shine bright, light up the skies above. Shine bright, do it with the ones you love. Shine bright, and never, ever, ever let it die. Shine bright, light up the stars above. Shine bright, and do it in the name of love. Shine bright, and I promise to never let it die. And if they ever make me choose, you know exactly what I'm gonna do. Question, second guessing, it's you I choose. Yeah, yeah, 'cause you are light, and I see everything I need. Yes, you are light. Yeah, yeah, shine bright.
As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names of love, Assalamu alaikum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalamDonor.com and SalamDonor.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. And also, let me throw in Patreon.com/TheRedPillDiaries, all one word. Thank you all for joining us on another edition of the most powerful platform for truth, bar none, anywhere on God's green earth. This is your platform for black liberation, education, and empowerment. This is the Star and Crescent Report with your host today, Rashid Muhammad. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us because we have so many technical problems, technical difficulties trying to get this show and maintain this show. And also with our new show, we're having problems with that. And I just want to say to you all, it is a new year, and always remember that even if you're going through problems, even if you're going through struggle, you're alive to go through those things, because a dead dog can't change his position. But you being a live lion can fight through your troubles, your tribulations, and you can make a difference and you can make a change. And the reason that the year is happy for you and joyful for you is that you made it when others have not. I've lost a lot of family members and friends in the year 2020. So you better be thankful for every second that you inhale and exhale, and that you are cognizant of the time and what is going on. You are most surely blessed. Now let's go into our show today. It's titled, American Jingoism is Killing the Empire. Now I want to talk to you all, and I'm going to tie all of this stuff in about the blocking of the show, about the trying to kill off the audience on the Star and Crescent Report, about the rescheduling the shows without me even being aware of the stuff. This is like going to another level, but I understand, because this devil is under tremendous pressure, and pressure will burst the pipe. You understand? They understand that the time they're living in, and they're understanding that this is the only platform that will give you the insight of what is going on and how to deal with it and how to prepare yourself for what is underway and what will soon come. Okay? Now, as I relate the Star and Crescent Report to what is going on with the American jingoism, I'm going to give you the definition of jingoism, and I'm going to talk to you about how they're trying to block the platform and how they are now doing it on YouTube. YouTube has given my channel a strike. They call my channel hate speech. They said that we are advocating violence. They said that we are advocating hatred towards multiple people. Now, I want you to understand something, that on the YouTube platform, which is an extension of the Red Pill Diaries on Patreon, not once did we advocate violence. Not once do we advocate race hatred, because that would be against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, you know. But they are scared of the audience that we're building. They stopped. The numbers were running up quickly on the subscribe list, and they prevented hundreds of people from subscribing. They knocked people from, when people subscribed, they were taking them off, all right? But I want to get to something, because all of this ties into the jingoism of America and how she's under so much pressure, tremendous pressure, because the hand of God is against her, okay? I'm going to play a clip for you from one of the interviews that I did with a guest of mine. Where's, I'm looking for something also while I'm talking to you. Okay, here we are. Give me 1 second. I'm looking for something else, too. Here we are. I got it. All right. So here's a list of some of the guests that I've had on the Red Pill Diaries. The Red Pill Diaries is actually an extension of the Star and Crescent Report. But instead of us, you know, talking like we talk on here, what I do, I interview world-class scholars, professors, personalities, politicians, geostrategists on there. And what I do, I offer a lot of questions to them and to get feedback so that you can understand that what Elijah Muhammad is saying is true. See, it is the after effect of the Star and Crescent Report. Now, on that show, all of these are world-renowned people. I'm going to just give you a list of the names that have been on the show recently, and we're going to tie this in. Just give me a second. You know how we lay the base. So just give me a second as I talk to you on that. And also, go to the Patreon starting today or tomorrow. We'll have a lot of videos that we would normally post on YouTube. We'll start posting them on Patreon for free. We'll have a paid tier, then we'll have a Patreon tier for free people, so that some of you are so cheap, you don't want to donate to the cause, $3, $5, you don't want to do that. So we're going to put some stuff on there just in case they take the stuff off YouTube, which they are doing. But I want to explain something to you, how the pressure of Allah is bearing down on them, and they're coming after small platforms or platforms in general that is teaching the truth without addition or subtraction. And this will tie right into the collapse of the empire and how Americans' arrogance, her jingoism, is killing her own empire. We've had, in the Red Pill Diaries has only been up for a few months, all right? And we've had former Senate candidate Mark Dankoff. We've had former U.S. House of Representatives candidate from the Green Party, Miles Hornick. We've had internet sensation and financial guru Gregory Mannarino. We've had professor and international strategist and geopolitician from Press TV, Charles Dunaway. We've had hip-hop legend from the hip-hop legendary group of pro-righteous teachers, Carrie Culture Freedom Williams. We've had Press TV analyst and professor Dennis Etler. We've had Dick Croy, who's a writer, author, and screenwriter and playwright. And we've had Mr. Kevin Barrett, who is a scholar, a professor, an author, a radio host, an analyst, a geostrategist. Oh, we've had that. As a matter of fact, later on today, at about 2 o'clock, we will be doing a private interview with Mr. Kevin Barrett again, which some of it will be airing for free on Patreon, and then the other half will be on for the Patreon, for the patrons who contribute to keeping all of this stuff going, to show their appreciation. So we've had that, right? And we've been putting this stuff, some of the clips of the videos, on YouTube. Just interviews, okay? So I want you to listen to this, and this is what they call hate speech. This is what they banned or blocked and suspended the uploads from the Red Pill Diaries on YouTube. And then after that, we're going to tie all of this in with the definition, with the economic crisis, with the geopolitical situation that is unfolding around the world. And you'll see that she's coming under tremendous pressure which she would not be able to bear, okay? So this clip here, it's from an interview I've done with Mr. Kevin Barrett. And in this interview, he talked about JFK. He talked about Israel. He talked about 9/11 and the American military coup, okay? Nowhere did we advocate hatred toward anyone. Nowhere did we advocate violence toward anyone. None of that. But this clip, part of this clip, is what got us suspended from YouTube. So I want you to be the judge of this and tell me whether or not it's the pressure or whether or not they have something in what they say that I'm advocating race hatred. I'm advocating violence against specific ethnic groups, racial groups, and groups of different genders. I want you to listen to, because I have the pictures. I can prove to you what I'm saying. Every time they sent me some, I was smart enough to get my phone. My children have to show me some of the stuff and take the pictures because I'm not tech savvy. So my son was uploading all these videos for me. He does all the technical work because I have no idea of what to do with this stuff. Okay, but I want you to listen closely. Just 3 minutes and 44 seconds.
Freelance journalist and freelance scholar.
Okay, so let's attack an issue that you just brought up, 9/11. What's your take on 9/11? And then we'll move upwards towards the political situation in America today, and then we'll talk about the Middle East, and then we'll talk about RCEP and the growing Asia trade and boom. So what is your take on 9/11?
Well, 9/11 is it's one of those things. It's like the JFK assassination. It's a huge crime, a coup d'etat done by very powerful people who largely control our government and media. And that's why they're able to get away with doing it in such an outrageously in-your-face way. Like with the JFK assassination, I mean, you're probably too young to remember that. I am too. I was 4 years old. But this mafia hitman, a known mafia hitman named Jack Rubenstein, otherwise known as Jack Ruby, walked through a parting sea of Dallas police officers to murder the alleged lone assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, on live television. Okay. So the whole country watched this, and yet we're told, no, it's just this lone nut that got shot down because Jack Ruby felt sorry for Jackie Kennedy. This was so insane that anybody believed that. I mean, I know that a lot of the African-American community didn't, but, you know, you're forced to believe it if you're going to work in this town in the journalism and academy. And so, you know, same thing happened with 9/11. They blew up Building 7 in broad daylight at 5:23 in the afternoon on September 11th, 2001. And they announced it was going to be blown up, taken down. And on radio, the police radio had a countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, boom, and this building disappears at free fall, right? And then right after that, the overinsured landlord of a month and a half, Larry Silverstein, confessed that he demolished it. Later, Larry would then go to court and collect $750 million on that very building that he confessed he demolished. And he said, no, it was the terrorist that somehow took it down. Well, wait a minute. The terrorists didn't come anywhere near that building. And in fact, there weren't any terrorists. These two remote controlled planes hit the two towers. How did that make Building 7 come down, 7 hours later? So Building 7, like the Jack Ruby thing in 1963, was so obvious that anybody should be able to see that there's a huge problem here. And little by little, people started to see it. The media wouldn't publicize Building 7 at all. So most Americans didn't even hear about it for years, if ever. So anyway, it's one of those cases where there's a coup d'etat, and the coup d'etats can happen in any country. Certainly they can happen here just like anywhere else. And they have happened a few times. You know, a number of our presidents have been murdered. Roosevelt was murdered by insiders and Kennedy, of course. And then 9/11 was a policy coup. The neoconservatives, backed by the state of Israel, wanted an excuse to hijack the American military to destroy Israel's enemies. And certain folks in the military-industrial complex apparently thought that would be great because they would make a lot of money. And likewise, the drug dealers and money launderers who wanted to get into Afghanistan and get that poppy, and the Taliban had shut down the opium. So it was time to start that up again, right? So these kinds of forces orchestrated this. So that's really what 9/11 was. And they've been lying to us outrageously ever since.
So did I advocate racial tensions? Did I advocate violence against any ethnicity, any race or gender? No. It was the truth coming out. They cannot accept the truth. Let me share something with you all. Right before the show, see, I have to deal with multiple things. Certain things I don't even bring up on the show. But we had everything set. They shut down everything immediately. It took us forever to get the show back up and running before it went live. And then after we got everything back up, mysteriously, the landlines started crackling real bad so that you could hear me talk through the landline. But it was so much noise in the background that now I have to talk to you all through a cell phone. This is what I'm doing now to do this show. To do this show. Because I'm standing on my square and I'm on my post. And I'm trying to overcome all obstacles in my way just so that I can do my duty and do my diligence to get the truth out to the people who want the truth. Not everybody wants the truth. So your brother is standing on his square. I'm standing on my post because this is what I'm going through constantly. Now, nowhere in this did I advocate anything, but you know why they call this hate speech? It wasn't because I pointed out the assassination of JFK. It wasn't because we pointed out that 9/11 took place and it was a false flag. You know what got me banned off YouTube? The mentioning of Israel's connection to all of this. That's what got, they don't want to say that, but that's what happened. But see, this is pressure. Pressure. Matter of fact, as I'm talking to you, let's go to something. And then I'm going to go back to a clip. And then we're going to go to this definition. Remember, on page 199 of The Fall of America, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, the name of America is not yet 500 years old. So the prophets refer to it as a wilderness in their prophecy. It is terrific. I use the word terrible because it is not a thing that can be described as something mild. I'm getting to some. Pay close attention to your brother. Or something that is moving slowly. Nor something that can be recognized so easily by the common people. So this thing is, I'm going to finish reading this, but it is something that I want to get to, okay? That goes hand in hand to what I'm trying to bring home to you, okay? He says, let me reread this, because the next point will be something. He says, it is terrific, right? I use the word terrible because it is not a thing that can be described as something mild or something that is moving slowly or nor something that can be recognized so easily by the common people. So the jingoism that you see America around the globe chest thumping and browbeating and deploying her warships and deploying her warplanes off the coast of other nations that lie some thousands of kilometers away from her, this is, the average person don't understand these things and why those things are taking place. They don't understand that America is under tremendous pressure by the Lord of the world because this is the day of her downfall. We are living in the 60 to not exceed 70 year grace period that God gave to her. And so time is not on her side. What did the book tell you? For Satan would come down having great wrath, for he knows he has but a short time, right? Muhammad goes further and says, it is clear to all who can see. We're not just talking about with the physical eyes. We're talking about perceiving it with the mental perspective, right? It is clear because everybody can't see this. Everybody don't understand. If they did, they'd be here listening. But it is something that has caused you to come listen because you understand that something is not right in the political and geopolitical and economic spheres, and you know that it has a direct correlation and connection with you and your salvation. So he says, it is clear to all who can see that America has reached the stage about which he has always been warned. Her arrogance, her hubris, her exceptionalism. Mama says she always wanted to keep it a secret because of her so-called Negro slaves. See, she don't want you to understand that she's under the burden of divine judgment. She does not want you to understand that it is God who is directing this orchestra that is playing a magnificent symphony to bring America to her knees. You understand? This is why she's under tremendous pressure from small nations, medium-sized nations, and even global players. 20 years ago, this was not possible. 15 years ago, you start seeing the outlines of these, the dots here, the dots there. Remember how I always tell you the connecting of the dots. 10 years ago, you connected some. 5 years ago, you started seeing a partial shape. But today, you're starting to see the bigger picture because more of the dots are being connected. Now, let's go to the definition of jingoism. According to Google Dictionary, jingoism is a noun. It is derogatory. It says extreme patriotism, especially in the form of aggressive or warlike foreign policy. Yeah. I'm going to say that again. Extreme patriotism. Do you not see this going on with them? Stop the steal, right? We can't let you see the divide there, the great divide in America. I told you this was coming because I read it to you out of Elijah Muhammad's own words, that there would be a great divide in America. See, Allah is dividing America like America divided the American so-called Negro. He's doing, as thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. Don't you get involved going out there protesting. Don't you get involved in her political malfeasance and just corruption. Don't you get involved in that, because if you get involved and you go out there protesting, then you put yourself in harm's way, because God is directing this. He is causing these people to break apart, to fall apart, to hate each other, to rise up against each other. The insurrection is bubbling in America. Right? Some, they call themselves patriots, right? And others are talking about, we need to move on China. We need to move on Russia. We need to move on Venezuela. We need to move on Iran. We need to move on Syria, right? We need to move on all of the nations. What the jingoism is? Tell me what the definition says. Extreme patriotism, especially in the form of aggressive or warlike foreign policy. You see? So, with that said, and I know y'all hear something in the background. It's a bell on the outside. I have nothing to do with that. So you just got to deal with that, okay? But I want you to listen to what it says about terrible. Now, remember, we just came from jingoism. Jingoism is a noun. It is derogatory. Extreme patriotism, especially in the form of aggressive or warlike foreign policy. Elijah Muhammad says in the Fall of America, what he says, it is terrific. I use the word terrible, right? So he's describing America. He's describing America's attitude. He's describing her foreign policy. He's describing what is to come to America, right? And he uses the word terrible, which is an adjective. Extremely or distressingly bad or serious. Dreadful, awful, appalling, horrific, horrifying, horrible. Causing or likely to cause terror or sinister. This is Elijah Muhammad talking to you. So we see this in all of America's policies. We see this in the blowback of America's policies, right? And we have to come to the conclusion that it is America's own jingoism that is helping to kill the empire. But notice that it didn't happen 20 years ago. Notice that it didn't happen 30 years ago. Notice it didn't happen 40 years ago. But it happened in a time which we were to expect it to happen. The 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period. And in the last 5 to 10 years of that. And we're witnessing that. And notice that they're talking about 2020. Was just the beginning. 2021 will be even worse. What did I tell y'all 5 years ago? What did I tell y'all a few years ago? What did I tell y'all last year on air? And this didn't come from me. I'm telling you this in confidence because this is what I got understanding of through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching. So I can't get credit for this, but I'm telling you who have listened to the show know that I've been telling you this. The situation will deteriorate rapidly. Because we're in the end of that. We're in the end of those years. Right? Therefore, if we are winding down, we're at the tail end of it, and it will become a rapid disintegration. Look at America's dollar and what's happening to her dollar. She's getting, the dollar's getting its head clean on the international market. Right? Look at the markets. Even as they float free money to corporations. As a matter of fact, I want to say something to you to let you know that this is the end of America. That if you go and you Google this, the 40% of all farmers' income, farmers, F-A-R-M-E-R-S, farmers, the farmers who produce produce and food for the Americans to consume, for the American grocery stores and all this, 40-plus percent of their income came through welfare because they were devastated by COVID. They were devastated by the torrential rains. They were devastated by snow and ice. They were devastated by the drought and the mudslides, and they were devastated by all of these elements of nature. Over 40%. And Google that. I want you to Google that. And then I also want you to follow up and Google this so that you'll know that I'm not lying to you. That they are, that farmers are still going belly up and bankrupt in Iowa and the surrounding areas right now. So what is that telling you? That hunger is approaching. When America can't produce her food and her currency is starting to be rejected worldwide, meaning she won't be able to buy any food. Right? So what is that going to cause with a situation that's already dire when you look at the political landscape of America? What do you see coming to America when you look at the entire domestic situation in urban America and in suburban America, the haves and the have-nots? And then food becomes scarce, and it takes you, instead of $5 to buy a box of cereal, it takes you $500 to buy a box of cereal. Huh? You see where I'm going with this? You see what's happening? So, again, I'm going to play a clip of a part of an interview that I did with Mr. Charles Dunaway. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we have terrific guests. And I might add, let me point this out before I play the clip. I've pointed out 2, 4, 6, 8. We had CIA Director Ray McGovern, but conflicting schedules, we couldn't get him back on, and we'll try to work on that later. Dollar Collapse guy, what is his name, from dollarcollapse.com, he was supposed to come on, but we could not regulate schedules. But I want you to look at this. Mark Denkoff, Miles Honig, Greg Mannarino, Charles Dunaway, Coach of Freedom, Dennis Etler, Kevin Barrett, Dick Coy, and we have Kevin Barrett on again today. But I said that, and I named this list to put something on your mind. How in the hell can they say that I'm teaching race hatred? How in the hell can they say that I'm teaching racial war or violence against an ethnicity, meaning white people, when out of the 8 people that I named on this list, only one was black? The video that they banned me for, it wasn't a black person said those things. It was a white person. Do you understand? So the pressure is tremendous on these people. So for those of you who say you support the movement, for those of you who say you support truth and you support the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, go over there and support and join the Patreon. Join the $3 Patreon. You're going to get a lot of content. We're going to come with a lot of content. Free, and for the patrons who pay, we're going to come with a lot of it. Because all they did was amp my spirit up, my soul up, to give out more content. But I want you to listen to this. This is a clip from an interview I did with Mr. Charles Dunaway, all right? And then we're going to go into the economics of this stuff, and how we're going to connect it all, and we're going to go into the geopolitics of this. But this is Charles Dunaway, and this clip here is he's talking about how he's really talking about America when he says we, how we're stumbling towards an economic collapse. This is about 5.5 minutes. Pay close attention to this. I'm telling you, we're giving up good content over there. Pay attention. So.
Yeah. Well, isn't that what you just described? Isn't that the definition of fascism? Because you just said about how corporations pushes the policy and the government uses the military to enforce the policy. That's fascism.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we can get out of this notion that America is a democracy. And we can get out of this notion that the elections really count, because someone told me, a few people told me, that it doesn't matter who is in office. As a matter of fact, Vladimir Putin once said when he was being interviewed and they were asking him about that. He said, U.S. presidents have little power. He said, as soon as they get elected, men in black suits come and tell them what to do. And
yeah, so, he's probably right there.
So he was saying that that regardless to which side the coin flips, it's still the same coin, and it's going to keep pushing the same policy regardless. And that's what we're looking at today. So with that said, and we are talking about the domestic, because there's a domestic crisis across America, mm-hmm. with the wealth divide, the race divide, the harsh policies on the middle class and the poor people, and the double standards also, because you get a person getting 50 years to a life for stealing a loaf of bread that they may want to eat, and then you have corporations stealing trillions of dollars, and then they get bonuses. So yeah. with that happening domestically, how can the republic survive? Because you cannot survive in a corrupt, inept society that's run by thieves.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, and I think so far what they've been able to do is propagandize us to an extent that, you know, I mean, most people now will tell you, well, you know, if we had only elected Bernie Sanders. Okay, well, you know, I mean, old Bernie would not have been able to do much of anything either.
Right.
You know, but, you know, you've got to, people got to be informed. And part of the way they keep this power is they don't let people get informed. That's why, you know, you just had, let me get these back here. You just had all these people taken off of Twitter and Facebook, mm-hmm. and YouTube as well, because, you know, and not because they were run by the Chinese or the Iranians or any of that crap. It was because they are telling the truth often about what's going on in the world. And yeah, I think the COVID thing has also given people an excuse to pull these people off, because if somebody doesn't believe, you know, in all the what we're told about COVID, and they bring up some alternative idea, you know, oh yeah, we got to get rid of them, it's bad for public health and all that. But yeah, that kind of censorship, even though it's not being done directly by the government, I mean, it's done at government direction, I can tell you that much, because they're. You know, somebody's telling them who to take off the air and who to leave on. But that censorship is part of the fascism too. And the reason fascism is really a great way to keep people in line, you know, when the government isn't doing for them what it needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're stumbling toward an economic collapse, is what I think. You know, and we're going to have I've always said we have either an economic collapse, environmental collapse, or nuclear war. That'd be the only way the empire ends. But I think the economic collapse is the more likely, because we've got so many millions of people here who are living very precarious lives financially. Mm-hmm. And now we have businesses being closed forever, in many cases. Small businesses, they're just gone. You know, big businesses have cut way back on employees, and you know, everybody's trying to be an Uber driver or something. But you know, we can't continue like that. And I think part of this agitation that we're seeing right now over this election, it really stems out of that. I mean, that people don't feel secure,
mm-hmm.
in the United States. And I don't mean secure in that the Russians are going to bomb us. I mean secure in that, you know, you'll be able to pay the rent at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to be able to feed your family all the way through. You're not going to have, you know, homeless people camped on your doorstep. I mean, you know, we aren't secure in that way. And until we turn around and make ourselves economically secure, we can never be secure through the military. That's just a drain.
So you see, and that's a clip from the show Brother Rashid and I do on the Red Pill Diaries. And we're interviewing all of these people, these people, they're world-renowned, world-class scholars and stuff. The same people that you listen to on Sputnik News and that you listen to on Press TV, these are the people. And they are willing to come to my platform now. Again, why? They know where we stand. They know what our position is. They know that we believe in Elijah Muhammad. They know that we support Elijah Muhammad. They know that we teach Elijah Muhammad. They know that we're not going to bend for anybody on Elijah Muhammad. So why do they continually and consistently come? Because they respect us. And you should hear some of the comments and the conversations off camera. It's amazing. You know, it's amazing. Some of your mouths would just drop wide open. But certain things that cannot be said on the air, they tell me, behind closed doors. But again, he says that we're stumbling towards an economic collapse. This is what's going. He said this is what will end the empire. Right? What did Elijah Muhammad say? It is terrific. I use the word terrible because it is not a thing that can be described as something mild or something that is moving slowly, nor something that can be recognized so easily by the common people. Look at what's going on in the midst of the farms being turned upside down and losing their grip on their finances by going belly up bankrupt and asking for welfare. In the midst of Wall Street stealing trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, in the midst of all of this stuff, when businesses are shattering, jobs are lost, people are hungry, homeless, and the growing race and wealth divide continues to implode, right? The people are still acting as though America's rebounding. The news, oh, the market went up 300 points. The market went up 700 points. Oh, I'll buy this stock and I'll sell this stock, right? And then you are lucky to have your job. When you get paid Friday, you go get your hair done, your nails done, right? You go pay the car note that you can't really afford to pay. You're living in a shack, but you're driving a BMW because you don't see. Spiritually and mentally, you cannot comprehend what is taking place right in front of you. Mama says, I use the word terrible because it is not a thing that can be described as something mild or something that is moving slowly, nor something that can be recognized so easily by the common people. He's talking about people who have no spiritual depth perception. He said, it is clear. You remember what Mr. Kevin Barrett said? Do you remember what Mr. Charles Dunaway just said about the economic collapse, the empire in dire straits? But Mama says, it is clear to all who can see. He's not just talking about with the physical eye. He's talking about with the spiritual eye so that you can comprehend the necessary things that are happening behind the scenes. That America has reached the stage about which she has always been warned. She always wanted to keep it a secret because of her so-called Negro slave. So she doesn't want you to understand what's going on. Therefore, she puts on 24-hour basketball. You know, in the midst of a pandemic, she's still doing her basketball, right? In the midst of a pandemic, she's still doing her sports, isn't it? Regardless, she's still, the pandemic ain't so bad, but she's going to lose out on her sports because she uses the sports to mesmerize the so-called American Negro. She don't want you awakened to the reality of the fall of the empire and the collapse of the American Republic. Let's go to something. To the economic collapse blog. I'm going to go back to December 27th, and I'm going to read some of this article. Then we'll move forward, okay? Brothers and sisters, you bear with your brother, okay? Because we try to do these shows. We're going to try to have one Thursday to listen. Even if it's not on Facebook, even if you don't get a reminder or an email or a text message, come Thursday anyhow. And if they block and wait 5 minutes, okay? And if they don't allow us on in 5 minutes after the start time, then you can go about your business. But give me that, okay? Give me the 5 minutes. Because sometimes it's just Oh, man, I tell you, when I get frustrated when I talk about it. But let's go to this article from December the 27th of last year. And it is, 'tis the season for bankruptcies, store closings, and tent cities. This was the headline from the Economic Collapse blog, okay? So I'm trying to give you an economic component of the collapse of the empire. All of this is blowback from the jingoism, because you have nations divesting from America, because if they invest in it, America seizes their property and she gets mad with them. America seizes their assets that are in American banks that are held by American companies. So nations are quickly divesting from American assets. Right? This is a part of the jingoism. The jingoism that is killing America. Right? And then, on the other hand, when other nations want to invest in each other, America sanctions them, whether they be her friend or enemy. So they're trying to do bilateral trade agreements, currency swap agreements. This is a part of the blowback of the jingoism. And it is causing a blowback effect domestically that can be seen as far as you can look. Michael Schneider writes, we need to make 2021 a year of hope. Because right now, listen to what he says, because right now, there is more economic suffering in America than we have seen since the Great Depression of the 1930s. More than 100,000, I didn't say 10, I didn't say 100, I didn't say 1,000, I didn't say 10,000, more than 100,000 businesses have permanently closed down since the pandemic began. Not right there. Now, to give you the scope of what he's saying, don't just look at the number 100,000 businesses, because a majority of those 100,000 businesses had chains, 10, 20, 30, 40, some upwards of 200, 300, 400 other stores. So when you do the 100,000, then you have to multiply it by 300, 400. You understand? To get a crisp and clear picture of the economic devastation that is being brought on America. So he says, more than 100,000 businesses have permanently closed down since the pandemic began. Many of our most iconic chains have filed for bankruptcy over the past 12 months. And tent cities are popping up in major cities all across the country. Coming into this year, the suicide rate in the U.S. was already at an all-time record high. And a Gallup survey recently discovered that the mental health of America is at an all-time low. Stop right there. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, and he taught us, that in the end of America, the people's hearts would fail because of fear of what they see coming. Their minds, their mental capabilities and stability will be removed from them for what they did to us. Did he lie? I'm asking you, because I'm just reading out an article. Did he lie? Is Elijah Muhammad coming over to what they are saying? Or is what they're writing in nowadays formats coming over to what Elijah Muhammad said? These are things we have to examine. All right? And if they're coming over to what Elijah Muhammad says, then he must be the last and the greatest messenger of God, because he didn't get it out of thin air. Okay? So furthermore, it goes and says, if we can't find a way to give people hope, multitudes of Americans will decide that life is no longer worth living, just like Anthony Quinn Warner did. The explosion in Nashville should be a wake-up call for all of us, because there are countless others out there that are feeling the hopelessness that Warner did. Now, he can feel the hopelessness of his white compatriot, right? But he can't feel the hopelessness of black people who have been held down with a boot on their economic and cultural neck for nearly 5 centuries. You understand? See, this stuff don't get past me. I don't care what I read. I see how they try to justify the madness that is them. But when it's you, they have zero compassion, zero understanding. Okay? But this is a part of the judgment. Remember what I told y'all when I was getting a lot of flack for the last 12 years? Remember when I told you that when people were talking about we have to separate, and I kept telling you that the separation is already underway. This is what is part of the separation. This is part of the separation. And maybe I'll go more in detail on another show, okay? But right now, let's go further. In 2020, we saw retail stores close their doors at a pace that we have never seen before. Stop right there. What year was he talking about? 2020, right? Remember, 60 did not exceed 70 years. Why are all of these things happening in the last 10 years of this? Huh? Remember what I told you? You can go back. We have a paper trail. We have an audio trail. Go back and listen to me talking about this stuff in 2010. Go listen. 2010. All right? And now we're in 2021. And we're looking at the collapse. I'm trying to show you that Elijah Muhammad was preparing you for this. He says, in 2020, we saw retail store close their doors at a pace that has never been seen before. According to the New York Post, New York City lost more than 1,000 chain stores all by itself. The Big Apple saw almost 1 in 7 nationally recognized chain store branches close their doors as the pandemic sent consumers scurrying for cover, according to a new report. A record high 1,057 chain stores, including Dwayne Reed's, 49 Starbucks, and 22, I can't even see this, it's scratched. Hold on. Papyrus's, I think that's what it is, have waved the white flag over the past 12 months, according to the Center for an Urban Futures annual State of the Chains report, set to be released Wednesday. If you go back to 2018, he says, 0.3% of chain stores in the city shut down permanently. This year, that figure has skyrocketed to 13.3%. The 13.3% decline shatters all previous records reported by the nonprofit agency since it began tracking the data 13 years ago. Hold up, stop right there. Why did they put a organization to do that around that time? Were they expecting something around that time 13 years ago? And what were they expecting? We can glean some information from that by what we see today. They knew prophecy. They understood Elijah Muhammad's pronouncement. So they set up all kind of agencies to monitor the economic, political, and geopolitical health of the nation. And by measuring that, they could understand the sickness which she suffers as a republic. So it says the 13.3% decline shatters all previous records reported by the nonprofit agency since it began tracking the data 13 years ago. Last year, just 3.7% of all chain outlets closed, up from 0.3% in 2018. Of course, the same thing is happening all over the nation. Empty retail buildings now litter the landscape, and it is only going to get worse. What did Elijah Muhammad say? The worst is what? Yet to come. As a matter of fact, before I go further, it goes hand in hand with what he just said. Let's go. Let's go to 255, I believe. Yep. This is what he says. Because this has to do with the economic situation. The money market. It talks about the race divide and the uprising within America. Elijah Muhammad says it all in a chapter called The Worst Is Yet to Come. And what is so magnificent about this, it is in a book titled The Fall of America. And The Worst Is Yet to Come is chapter 62, which is the last chapter of this book. So he was setting up something for you to pay attention to. Because he ended this very, very insightful and much needed book with a chapter called The Worst Is Yet to Come. He was warning you about something that was going to take place, that was in the works, that you could not see or comprehend at that moment. So some of you mocked and ridiculed and laughed at him. But he's laughing now. This is the way he says. According to radio and television, and according to individual conversation, and according to conversation heard between government officials concerning their problem of trying to find a way to peace for their people and a way to find stoppage of the fall of their money market and unemployment. Stop right there. What is on the government's mind right now? What are they trying to do? Put money, a few dollars, into the hands of the poor to spend to try to pad the numbers in the economy while they steal money from the poor and give billions and trillions to the already rich, the same people who got them in this situation, right? And they're trying to formulate a plan that can kick the economic can down the road. Is that not right? They're trying to stop the fall of their money markets by pumping up Wall Street. Is that not right? Is that not right? Talk back to me. Is that not right? Of course it is right. You know I'm telling you the truth. Mama says, according to radio and television, and according to individual conversation, and according to conversation heard between government officials concerning their problem of trying to find a way to peace for their people and a way to find stoppage of the fall of their money market and unemployment and a stoppage to the revolutions between the dissatisfied and the dissatisfied and to find a way to be able to eat and to keep the hungry eating from his own labor. Pacification is offered, the $600 check, right? All of the good talk on the TV and radio, right? About a rebound, about an economic brilliance, an economic recovery. Pacification is offered, but it does not satisfy. Because even though they've given you a pacifier that has a little taste to it, those in the know that it's just plastic or rubber or whatever, and they want real food, real meat. So they give you $600 and you're grateful for the $600. But the $600 doesn't cover your mortgage. It doesn't cover your rent. It doesn't cover your bills, because the bills continue to mount up. The bills continue to stack up. It doesn't cover your car note, your car insurance, your house note, your house insurance. If you got medical insurance, it doesn't cover that. It doesn't cover the children's clothes, the children's shoes, does it? Pacification is offered. But what Elijah Muhammad says? It does not satisfy. Right? So, he goes further and says, with nations rejecting peace offers and nations laughing and making mock of you, forever seeking peace and friendship. As it is written, peace is desired more than fine gold. Now to see all of these things coming to pass, things that we did not know that we would see. We did not know that we would see such a Goliath, such a giant falling, right? Goliath. Elijah Muhammad termed America the Goliath. He said Goliath, who has defied the nations of the earth to come out and fight with them. What is she doing off the coast of Iran in the Persian Gulf, huh? What is she doing in the Mediterranean off Syria's coast? Talk to me. What is she doing in the Black Sea, right? What is she doing above Russia? I forget the sea above that. What is she doing in the Pacific? What is she doing in the South China Sea? Matter of fact, she's even doing it on the borders of Vietnam now, flexing her naval muscles and her Air Force muscles. What is she doing there? What Elijah Muhammad says? Goliath, who has defied the nations of the earth to come out and fight with them, as Goliath did before Israel. Now, nations make mock of the great giant of the earth, America. The sword within and the sword without. Trouble seems to have no end. Now, let's go back to the article. Of course, the same thing is happening all over the nation. Empty retail buildings now littering the landscape, and it is only going to get worse. But it is hard to imagine that the next 12 months could actually be worse than the past 12 months. In an article published earlier this month, CNN listed 30 major chains that have filed for bankruptcy in 2020. And it's a list of, man, so many, good Lord, there's so many of them, I can't even go through. And it says, sadly, now that the holiday season is done, there will inevitably be another huge wave of store closings and bankruptcies. Of course, the new lockdowns are certainly not helping matters at all. Millions upon millions of people are staying home and not spending money, and this is hitting the restaurant business particularly hard. In fact, the National Restaurant Association is warning that 40% to 50% of restaurants may go bankrupt in the months ahead if something is not done. Stop right there, because I have a note to talk to you about. I remember Saladin was telling me, he said, brother, it's going to get so bad in America. He said, you see how you got all these choices of stores? That's going to be a thing of the past. Saladin, he used to always tell me that. He said, brother, most people can't see that now because they don't have Elijah Muhammad. But if you get that compass of Elijah Muhammad, it'll guide you right throughout all of these times. You don't have to worry about veering to the left or veering to the right. You'll stay on the straight and narrow. And he was telling me that all of these banks and all of these stores and all of these businesses will start collapsing, going bankrupt, belly up, belly up. And you won't have 2,000 restaurants to choose from. You won't have 20,000 grocery stores to choose from. All of that is coming to an end. And I see exactly what he was telling me right now. When he was telling me that decades ago, he said, brother, you can take what I say or leave it. The messenger said it, and that's good enough for me. And I said, well, you know what, brother? Well, that's good enough for me. And I see these things transpiring right now. All of the choices that you had once before, that's coming to an end. Allah is systematically destroying America. He's gutting her. That's why she's all over the world. She's trying to prevent a major power from rising up against her. She's defending everywhere. She's in Asia. She's in Africa. She's in South America. She's in Central America. She's in the Caribbean. She's in Europe. She's in North Africa. She's in the Middle East. But there's an old saying, he who defends everything defends nothing. And so her underbelly at home is exposed. And she's spending more and more treasure. Now, think about the madness of her policy. I want you to think about this, because some of us, we don't sit down, we don't take the time and examine this. She is surrounding nations, right? She's bombing nations. And she's threatening to bomb the very nation that lend her money. Do you see the madness in that? I'm just asking you. Do you understand just how insane your thinking has to be? Okay, these nations are what is keeping you afloat. They are what are keeping you afloat, right? But you want to make war with them. You want to surround them with bases. You want to hold their economies hostage to the barrel of a gun. If you don't trade in dollars, if you don't buy my debt, I'll wage war with you. This is the crackhead thinking. But some of you can't process that. And what she's doing, she's spending more treasure to maintain her bases. She's spending more treasures, muscle flexing. She's spending more treasure to try to blunt the growth of these nations and stymie the growth of these nations. And at the same time, she's begging these nations for a handout because she no longer produces anything but dollars and movies. And as a matter of fact, and since I brought up this, remember I told you that China passed America in quantum technology. China, she has the three largest, two or three largest phone companies in the world. She is the largest economy by purchasing power parity. And she recently, I don't care what they say, she recently became the number one economy in the world. She's the number one exporter, the number one importer, the number one manufacturer, the number one investor in America and in nations around the world. She's the number one financier of nations globally. She has four of the 10 largest banks in the world, from number one to number four. She has the four largest banks in the world. And guess what just happened? Her currency is being accepted. She has, and I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it now. She has inked out some deals I was going to save this for Patreon. I'll go deeper into it in Patreon. But she's inked out her some deals with some of these oil producing countries because of the situation in the oil markets and they're in desperate need. So she's signing deals with them, and they will be selling her oil at a base rate, but the transactions will be done in yuan, not in dollars. This is why America's up in arms. This is why she just sent some warships over in the Taiwan Strait. This is why you don't hear that part. Because China just deals with these people. You don't hear that part. And another thing, we said the only things that America had to export was guns, dollars, and Hollywood. Well, the nations are no longer taking her dollars. And other nations are no longer wanting her weapons, only a few. And she's holding them hostage to sanctions, right? So what is left? Hollywood? Well, guess what? This week, the Chinese Hollywood, a version of Hollywood, surpassed Hollywood as the largest movie industry in the world. Remember what I told you that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said? That this yellow man of Asia was going to chase down this American white man and everything that he once dominated in. You see this? Do you see? Did Elijah Muhammad lie, or is time vindicating that man? I'm asking you this. Don't get in your feelings. I'm asking you this because we can point to it. We can show you these things, right? They have become the number one movie or box office attraction in the world. They have surpassed Hollywood. So now what's left for America? So she can't sell her culture no more. So no one is accepting her currency no more. And nations are rejecting her weapons. And the only ones that are buying it are those who are fooled by her and those who are held captive through the barrel of sanctions. What else does she have? Provocation. So that's what she's doing. That's why you see her provoking the nations to war. That's what Elijah Muhammad had told you. That's what I read when I first started the show. American jingoism is killing the empire. You see? Boy, I tell you what. It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let's go further. So it says, in fact, the National Association is warning that 40 to 50% of restaurants may go bankrupt in the months ahead if something is not done. The National Restaurant Association said that 40% to 50% of the restaurants may go bankrupt in the months ahead if they don't reopen immediately. Two of the U.S.'s most iconic restaurants, the 21 Club in Manhattan and the Cliff House in San Francisco, announced they had closed their doors permanently after nearly, listen to this, after nearly 100 years of business. That doesn't give you a sign of something. Is that right? Now, he says, as they die, so do hundreds of jobs in these cities. The workers out of work aren't rich. Overall, 15 million middle-income people work for bars and restaurants. I can definitely understand why so many restaurant owners are absolutely furious right now. You can watch one restaurant owner give an impassioned speech in which he boldly declares that I'm not ready to give my country up to these people. they hot. Oh, my God, they bad, boy. I have to admit, I got pretty fired up watching him. He put a link up in here. So, it's more the same with this article about, and you see the madness, the anger of white people and how they're lashing out. They're lashing out. They are lashing out because they're losing their position. See, as long as Christianity worked, I'm talking about the Christianity that's offered to you by these white people who have subjected you to slavery for nearly five centuries. As long as that worked and they prospered, and as long as they could feed their families and they were secure, you had nothing to complain about in their eyes. America was great, right? But we all niggas now, right? All praise is due to Allah, for the honorable Elijah Muhammad. They don't like that feeling. Because in their eyes, you're a nigga. But all of their wealth is being stripped from them. All of their sanity is being stripped from them. The security of family and being able to produce and provide is being stripped from them. And they're being put in the same position as their slaves, right? Is that all right? Well, didn't Elijah Muhammad say that that was coming to them? I'm asking you. Didn't he warn America about the way that she treated you and I? And how God would rebuke her, and then God will chastise her and give her what she put on our back? I'm asking you this. Matter of fact, I'm not just asking you, I'm going to read it to you. Everywhere that we look and everything that we can think about marks the end of this world. There was never a time in the history of the United States of America that the president goes out to try to visit the heads of all the nations that seem to be somewhat as equal. He is like a criminal who has committed a crime, and he hopes for mercy from those whom he has committed the crime against. We cannot escape our doom when it comes, teaches the Holy Quran and the Bible. They showed no mercy at all to the black slave. They treated the black slave worse than any human being has ever been treated. They continued to do so in the face of divine judgment. They remind you of the parable of the rich man and the poor man. As long as the rich man enjoyed luxury, he cared nothing about the luxury for his slave, Lazarus. Then at last, the rich man fell into poverty, and he was unable to get help even for himself. The Bible says of the poor black slave that none helped him. None helped them. Now the rich man gets in the place of his once slave. The rich man can witness how it feels to be the poor man, right? This is what we're watching in real time. In real time. And they cannot stomach it. They cannot stand it. And it is causing them to have unsound mental health, to kill themselves, to lash out and blow up churches, blow up buildings, try to instigate race war because the time is limited. And they are left. Listen, as I said on the Red Pill Diaries, when I asked this question, I forget to whom I asked it to, but they answered me that I was correct. Isn't America's domestic situation and her domestic policy a reflection of her international policy? Isn't the domestic policies a microcosm of what she's done around the world as she goes and she divides others? Doesn't she do that here? As she goes and she robs others? Doesn't she do that here? As she goes and sucks the wealth out of the so-called poor nations and gives it back to her own kind? Doesn't she do that here? As she incites violence and then washes her hair and cleans as though she is the purest person on earth? Doesn't she do that here? Huh? I'm asking you these things. Well, domestically, she is reeling from the same thing she's reeling from internationally. Her injustice, her arrogance, her hubris. She does that to other nations and other people. And then she'll demonize them. She'll be thousands of kilometers, thousands of miles away from her own shores. And then they're the terrorists. She's in other lands, calling the people who are in Afghanistan, trying to bomb her and get her out of Afghanistan as terrorists. How the hell can you make sense of that? Huh? She's in Iraq against the wishes of the people, and the people are fighting, but they are the terrorists. She's in Syria illegally, but they are the terrorists. She's in North Africa, and they are the terrorists. Never is America, Britain, France, England, Germany, any of them the terrorists. It's the people who are fighting the occupation of their lands and their people who are deemed the terrorists. Isn't that the same thing we're looking at in America domestically? The people who have been beaten and robbed and exploited, they're not good. Oh, they're just ungrateful. It's America. Love it or leave it. As long as it benefits you, right? And if you don't accept the national line of thinking, then you're a domestic terrorist, right? You're instigating war. You are a nationalist, an extremist, right? Isn't that what they say to you? Black nationalists. Isn't that what they say? So her domestic policy, a reflection. Uh-oh. Am I here? Brothers and sisters, if you hear me, please say something. Okay? Because I'm getting disconnected. All right. Let's see. 1 second. Okay, good. We got, uh-oh. We got the, because it's not showing up here. I think I'm getting disconnected. Hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second. Okay, good, good, good. Thank you all, brothers and sisters. Thank you all for your hands up. I'm going to bring you in just a second. I'm glad you are listening to me because, listen, as I say, they're doing stuff to the show. What they did, let me show you what they did. They disconnected me on the dashboard, which made me think that I was disconnected from you all. The dashboard showed up, and I see dozens and dozens of people on the dashboard, right? But I did not see my number up, and it showed that no host. It showed that no host was in online. So that's what they're doing, and I'm glad that all of you stayed on and that you're listening to me, because I was about to hang up and try to call back in to keep the show going. But this is the trick. They mute my mic. They do all that. But the first person who gave me heads up that this was, I was still on the air, Brother Mikhail. Thank you, my brother. But I had messaged you on Messenger a few days ago. Let me bring, I know Brother Rashid got something to say, so I'm going to bring him in real quick while I fix these boards. Salaam alaikum, brother.
Walaikum, black man. How you doing?
Oh, brother, I'm doing good, brother. How about yourself, brother?
Well, let me say this, brother. It is a wonderful thing to have Elijah Muhammad in your brain, brother. You are lost up a creek.
Yes, sir.
Going over Niagara Falls.
Yeah, brother.
Brother,
yeah.
As you saying, brother, the end is here, and only like another elderly brother was telling me, only the people that got the messenger, you can see what's going on. The rest of the people,
mm-hmm.
they don't have a clue. You see all these Negroes on the news media, and it's real silly. The white man's politics, they gonna tell the white man how to do his politics better. it is hilarious. Every time I see these guys on there talking about, oh, well, the democracy, and we got to do this, and we got to do it is the slave telling the slave master how to deceive him better. Without the messenger, brother, you clueless. You're absolutely clueless. You have no concept of perception of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like Donald Trump. Like I said, I've been telling you years that the men you the older brothers taught me, Minister John taught in the 60s out in Temple number 27, that there would be a crazy president at the end of time doing a bunch of crazy things to help bring America down. I learned that in the late 70s. What's that, damn near 40-something years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And it took to now for it to come play. Like one brother was telling me, Minister John said, when a messenger tells you something, sometimes it takes 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50 years to take place, but it's going to come true.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they couldn't understand. When the messenger was telling them these things, it was a big joke. It was real funny. It ain't funny now, is it? This crazy president, I watched Donald Trump last night. What was he saying? He ain't going to get out of office. And then he won the election. And he might, and his people saying, call out the National Guard. Now, it was a rigged election, right?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
But when he got in office, that wasn't a real rigged election, right?
Or how about George Bush?
Yeah,
brother.
When he got into office, all of them were rigged. Like one guy was talking about this Mitch McConnell, right? This Mitch McConnell was polling at 19% before the election, right?
Yeah.
In Kentucky. Then when the election happened, he won in a landslide.
Yeah.
A joke and a con to deceive weak-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
When has the majority of the people been ever right on anything? All you have to do is get some con man or some deceiver out there to tell them lies and they go for it. No, this is why his way of society is evil and it should be rejected. The best society is that which is based upon Allah's creation. The laws of Allah will never fail. Not the devil. What do we say? You're guilty. You're innocent until you're proven guilty. Not guilty when you commit a crime. That means you can do all the crime you want in the world. Just don't get caught. Right?
Yeah.
So it shows you that he is an evil man. And you don't ever see him talking about, let's say, a prayer to Allah for creating this beautiful earth for us. We got all of these in our lifespan. We have the air we need. We have the food that we need. We have all the modern, all the convenience that one would think of. And what does the white man do with it? I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to kill the planet. That's what the man said. The same thing that was in his mind. Now we're going into today. Everything the messenger is saying is coming true. Even the white man admitting that the moon is a part of Earth. He didn't get that from nobody else but Elijah Muhammad. Mm-hmm. He's telling you about the universe. Expand. As Elijah Muhammad teaches. And he's telling you about everything that he got, the atom. What the menu say? Inside the substance of an atom is what you see out of the universe. It's just the,
that's right.
The universe is the big atom. The menu teaches.
Say that again, but your phone messed up. Say that again, your phone went out. Your phone is going in and out.
Okay, what about now?
Yeah, you're clear now.
Okay, the substance is inside an atom. Then you said there's a substance. I remember my mentor telling me that around 1980. And he said, look, read this. He was reading an article in the LA Times where a scientist said that there's a substance inside of the atom. And he said, brother, that proves the messenger right. Now,
that's right.
Elijah Muhammad was no scholar in the white man's system. He didn't go to Harvard, Yale, or Princeton. But he has...
The brother's breaking up. Brother, your phone is... I'm gonna mute you for a second. I want you to come back in for a second. I'm gonna mute you, then I'm gonna bring you back in because your phone is in and out, and I want the people to hear exactly what you say. Hold on one second. Brothers and sisters, see? Live on the air, you see what's going on? So now I'm gonna bring Brother Rashid back in and see if it's clear. Brother, you there?
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you now. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, brother, you know, like the man, you know, a lot of people who don't like truth, brother. When you get to talk, they get rocks in their jaw.
Yeah. Hey, brother, like when we on the phone talking and the phone lines just go dead.
Yeah. As long as you lie to a group of people, they all smiling. Then when you start telling them, everybody get rocks in their jaw. They start looking crazy. But,
yes, sir.
I'm not going to keep too much more of your time, brother, but it's like what I was saying was what the messenger was teaching, that there's a substance inside of an atom. And my mentor was telling me around 1980, it was on the science department, part of the L.A. Times, where the scientists were saying that there was a substance inside of the atom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Elijah Muhammad didn't go to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, or none of those things. But he could see things that they could never dream of. I mean, I know it's hard for the slave to understand, but you go back and check out some of those movies that the white man was making in the 1930s. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You there?
Yeah, we here, bro.
He had people on the moon walking with nothing on. That's what he thought. He never knew there was something called no in space, there was no air. He didn't have a concept of that. But Elijah Muhammad was teaching that in the 30s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it means that the one who taught Elijah Muhammad knew what the scripture said. He even weighed and measured the earth. That's what the scripture
says.
Right. The last God coming, right? So
yep.
There's a power independent of the white man that our people cannot conceive of. You know, growing up in America, you can't conceive of anybody ever doing anything to bring down America. But what does the scripture
right.
say? He brings them down little by degrees from which they proceed not. Mm-hmm. He lays something into the body of America 30 or 40, 50 years ago, and that will metastasize and destroy the whole body itself. It's like cancer.
Yep.
A little bit of cancer
yep.
grows into a whole lot of cancer, right?
Yep, that's right.
And this is exactly what's happening to America. The cancer is all over the place. And pretty soon, the patient going to be dead.
Walaikum salam. Good teaching. Good talk, brother. Now, I know we have like 5 minutes left, but give me about 2 extra minutes. I want to close with the show. I'm going to come back after this clip. But this is another clip of an interview that I was doing over on the Red Pill Diaries. Now, I want you to listen to this. It's 4 minutes. And this is about the Israeli neocons' global war and what they are waging war against, okay, and how they're waging war for global domination. And it's very important that you hear this, because this has everything to do with America's jingoism, and which is bringing her down. Because if this was not explained and you didn't know, you wouldn't understand that this policy here is what is bringing a blowback effect in America's economics, politics, and her geopolitics, okay? So listen close to this. Oh, they're not letting me play the thing? Huh. They're blocking me? I'm playing it. Hold on. Let me see.
Right, I don't think so.
Okay. Rashid, do you have anything to say? Because I definitely do. I have a follow-up question.
I wanted to say, Jack Rubenstein, the main thing media somehow leaves that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they cut off his name, didn't they? I wonder why they
yeah.
would do that.
I wonder why.
So do you believe that this move by the neocons to usurp authority and to control the Pentagon, do you think that was a move to not just radicalize American society against the Muslims, but to wage a war on Islam?
Absolutely, yeah, because the Zionists are really waging a war on Islam. We have to remember that Palestine has been Islamically administered Holy Land essentially ever since Islam existed, since
mm-hmm.
the year about 650. And as we remember that, you know, the first revelation of Islam, you know, in the Miladi year was the year 622. So this was just one generation after that the Holy Land was opened to Islam, and it was administered by Muslims for everyone, for Christians and Jews as well. And that's the way it's been, except for a couple of moments where crusaders came in and slaughtered everybody and held on to it for a little while. But it's basically been a Muslim-administered Holy Land forever, since Islam existed. And so when the Zionists came in and ethnically cleansed Palestine, butchered and expelled the people, destroyed most of the churches and mosques, this was a war on the whole religion of Islam, which has been administering this holy place where there's the Dome on the Rock and the Masjid al-Aqsa, which is the spot where Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, rose through the heavens to the presence of Allah, which is the ultimate spiritual moment, really, in Islam. And the fact that Islam is the final revelation of the same God that the Jews and the Christians worship is symbolized by this Islamically administered Holy Land. And now that's been wiped out as the Zionists have come in and are committing genocide in this Holy Land. And so they've declared war on Islam. And there's also a war on Christianity as well that most Christians don't even seem to notice. But when 15 million Jews, and most of them don't even believe in God, claim they have the right that this God that they don't believe in gave them this land in perpetuity thousands and thousands of years ago, so they have the right to commit genocide there and make it a so-called Jewish state against the wishes of the world's nearly 2 billion Muslims and 3 billion Christians. That's the majority of the world's population is a universal monotheistic population, either Christian or Muslim. And yet all Christians and Muslims have essentially been given this gross slap in the face by atheists posing as Jews who are committing genocide in the Holy Land. So this is a religious war. It always has been. And the Muslim world has never been ready to accept this Zionist genocide of Palestine. And so they know that they have to neuter the religion of Islam and the people of Islam in order to keep their project going. And they want to ultimately set up what they would call their Messiah, who will be the Antichrist or the Dajjal for Muslims and Christians. They want this so-called fake Jewish Messiah to be put on the throne in the rebuilt blood sacrifice temple after they tear down the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That's the long-term project. And so that's 9/11 is one step towards that.
So you see that this is the war of Armageddon, as he said. I'm going to stop my thought for 1 second. I see Brother McCall's hand up. I'm going to go to him. Maybe he has a word to say, and I don't want to be rude and not give my good brother a chance to speak. Let me go to him real quick. Brother McCall, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, bro. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, my brother?
Fine, by Allah's grace, brother. I only raised my hand just to let you know that you were fine. You were on the air. We could hear you clearly. Real quick, you made a great point about what's going on right now. They are giving us recommendations and, guidelines as far as social distancing, yet they are not social distancing in professional sports. They're tackling each other. They got constant body contact on the football and the basketball field. Now, how are you going to justify that? You got a stadium basically, they have restrictions on occupancy. But yet the courts are full of players rubbing elbows with each other or tackling each other on the fields. That doesn't make any sense. America must wake up. As I said, what they call it, bread and circuses, right? From the days of the Greeks and the Romans, right? They give us these bread and circuses to keep us occupied and running around in this foolishness. You know, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's not logical at all. Yeah. Last thing, brother, again, they come at you in so many ways. It's taken you, you used to have a show at least twice a week, sometimes three times a week. Now you're lucky to get on one show every 2 weeks. Every other week, you can barely get one show on. But the worst thing, or the most telling thing, brother, you have the ear of people worldwide, regardless of creed, class, or color, and they know that. That is what they are having a problem with. But like I've told you before, for every censorship, there's a submarine, and like that commercial said back in the 70s, they are sinking their own battleship.
Yes, sir. Well, alaikum salam, my brother. Thank you. And see, I'm glad the brother noticed. That's what I'm saying. They're coming at me every kind of way. And mind you, all while I'm trying to do two shows, I'm still doing articles every day. I'm still, and I have other stuff I have going on. But go back to something he just said about when he brought up something that I said about the basketball and the football. Don't forget, brother, they also box. They also MMA. They're grabbing each other. They're bleeding on each other. They're breathing on each other. They're bidding on each other. Fighting, right? But they're telling you to stand 6 feet away from each other and to put a mask on. But see, this is to have you preoccupied so that you don't realize that the thief is stealing everything that's not nailed down, and even stealing the nails of the thing that is nailed down. I'm telling you, America is falling. For those of you who are listening, American jingoism is most definitely killing the Empire. We're going to try to have a show Thursday, brothers and sisters. Please try to come. Also, check us out on Patreon, whether you are a paid member or free. We got free content over there, but we're going to have a lot of videos, and we're going to have a second site. And to get at YouTube, go to the Red Pill Diaries, all one word, on YouTube and subscribe to that. Anyhow, we're going to have a second channel put up there and move some of the videos over to the second channel, okay? Brothers and sisters, this is from my heart. With an undying love and passion for you all, I'm telling you from my heart, from the work that I put in, nonstop. I love my people. I love my people. I love my God. I love my messenger. And I love my nation. And I know that if we unite on this platform of recognizing and accepting that there is one God whose name is Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, his messenger, the last and the greatest messengers of God, that messenger name, Elijah Muhammad, and for recognizing the path blazed for us on his back in what we call the mighty, mighty Nation of Islam, you will be successful and you will overcome these times. Remember, tough times don't last, but tough people do. I love you all and I salute you. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.